welcome to Turn About Breakdown, an Ace Attorney podcast replaying the Ace Attorney series from the start. We are now at the end of Ace Attorney Investigations. I said replaying, but I shouldn't have for the fifth time, but it's fine. I have been replaying the series. Diego has been joining me to play for the first time. We're at the end of Ace Attorney Investigations, so I'm assuming that people know this by now.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe someone is seeing this episode and be like, I'm going to start right here. And that's fine. Maybe.
That's true. I've given you a very vague introduction to this podcast, so it's fine. We finished Investigations today. I've said that three times. We've been recording for about a minute. If this is your first episode, welcome to the chaotic energy of the show.
Yeah, it's always like this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because the recording times have been a bit hectic because August has been chaos and July has been, I don't know if it ever happened. Like, I don't remember July. And now we're here. It's like, okay, like 2 weeks from now, we're going to be starting investigation too. And it's a weird one. But yeah, I don't know. This fucking game has felt like so long and like so, I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely a combination of July and August being chaos, as you said, and the game itself. We have finished it now, so we can take it as an overview, but we have talked a lot about its pacing issues and its love of going over the same thing multiple times and its inability for its perpetrators to, like, fess up ever, which just makes it very long, I think. I mean, I guess sticking with that theme, I will say one of the things I remembered really clearly about this game was the end of this case where that exactly happens, right? And I remembered that from the start. And I was like, okay, I know that happens in case 5. We played case 1 and we were like, that was weirdly paced. And I was like, uh-oh. Maybe this is going to happen in every case. And then it basically did.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last case is like probably the best / worst example of that. In such a way that I was just so angry. Like so angry. Because I was like, okay, like I was watching the walkthrough and being like, okay, I only had like 2 episodes left. And in my mind, I was like, okay, the person that was behind all of this is right here and they are talking to them. So I don't see why it would get like further delayed. Like we only need like maybe like a conclusion or like cutscene or something like that. And then another video played and I was like, okay. And I grabbed my remote, I saw the length and it was like an hour. So basically it was like, okay. And I just went and grabbed my Switch and I started playing Tetris 99 with the walkthrough in the background. And I was like looking at it like every few matches and being like, okay, so they're in the same room. They're going through the same things over and over again. Now there are a lot of characters like coming back for some fucking reason. I was like, okay, fine. And it took like 40 to 45 minutes, basically, to come to the conclusion of, okay, like, here's evidence. And like, okay, yeah, I give up. Yeah, I don't know. That's my overview.
Yeah. I definitely have some thoughts about it, which I will save until we get to that point. But what I will say is on the walkthrough that I was watching, the video was 7.5 hours long. And the final confrontation with the guy starts nearly 2 hours before the end. So it's like, firstly, it's 2 full hours. And secondly, it's like, as a percentage, that's like more than a quarter. So I think we kind of knew it was coming from the perspective of we have talked about this many times, and as I said, it was one of the few things that I remembered about this game, so I was kind of dreading it the whole time. But yeah, it was interesting to see how that recurred through the game. I think I'm conscious of not treading old ground on it too much just because I feel like we've talked about it so much. But there are some things I want to get to when we get there as well, so let's go back to the beginning to start with, I think, unless you wanted to give some more overview thoughts.
No.
Okay, the opening of this case has, like, a very short in media res where Edgeworth, like, is in this embassy and is on fire and he's like, hey, how could you do this? Or, like, something like that. I can't remember exactly what he says. And it's so weird because it's so short and then it just immediately cuts back to, like, them arriving in the embassy together and just, like, what were they... Now that I'm thinking about it, why were they there in the first place? I've forgotten.
I mean, it was a while since I watched the intro, so I can't remember correctly, but in my notes, it's like, good intro, and then immediately goes back to this fucker having tea. So, maybe in that conversation, like, fucking Edgeworth's office or something, I don't know, like, maybe Gumshoe comes up and says, like,
You're right, it cuts back to, it doesn't cut back to them in the embassy, it cuts back to them in Edward's office at first, and they have like a discussion about it. Basically, the thing about it is that Kay wants to go and there's been like a Yatagarasu card sent to the embassy, right? And Kay wants to go and prove that they're not the real Yatagarasu and like, and that kind of thing. And then there's like a reason why they can go, like it's an open day or some shit like that. Or it's just because like Edgeworth is just like, okay, I'll go as part of the security or whatever the fuck. Anyway, they end up at the embassy. One thing to note about the embassy is that it's the embassy of two countries, Alabast and Babel, which split from Cadopia, which is the country that they were talking about in the last case, which was obviously a flashback. And I just wanted to mention that because I had spent so much time dragging them for making up countries, and then I was like, oh, well, they did want to have a country that they could split into two for this, and like, obviously that has happened to other countries, but I can kind of see why they wanted to not have a real country to do this, so I just wanted to add that as like a caveat to me dragging them so many times for making things up in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically Ace Attorney, right? It's always a hit or miss. It's like, okay, fine. I give yeah, you the true. Few hits that you have, but like, drag you with all the misses as well.
Yeah. And then the thing about this like show that they're having is that it's got like a Steel Samurai show at it for no reason at this embassy. It's got like a stage play. And so obviously Edgeworth is like really excited to go and watch this Steel Samurai stage play, which is very funny. And basically all of this makes up like the first time in this game we've had like a really nice chill opening where people just kind of get to hang out and talk, which I talked before about really enjoying during the trilogy. So it stood out to me as like a nice opening.
Yeah, especially after, like, all the shitty days that they all been having.
Yeah. But then, yeah, after that, we get caught up to, like, that part that was shown at the beginning really, really quickly because this fire breaks out and then Kay is immediately arrested for murder because this body shows up after the fire, which is the ambassador from one of the... Not the ambassador, because there's, like, an ambassador and then there's, like, an assistant who I don't really remember how they actually call them specifically. But anyway, one of them dies. And Kay is arrested by Sheena, who is, God, what's his name? Lang's,
subordinate.
Partner, right? Yeah. So that kind of sets us up for the first, like, quote unquote defense.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point fast.
Yeah.
And the premise is, I want to sound angry again. But the premise is interesting, like, from the get go. I was like, okay. Like, the embassy itself is, like, basically, like, split in the middle. And there's, like, oh, but this person, like, doesn't have, like, the extraterritorial, like, rights to, like, get to the other side and that stuff. So that kind of, like, limits the list of people that could help, like, being the murderer or something like that. And that stuff was, like, interesting to me. But, yeah, that's... I leave that note on that for now.
I sense that there's a however just, like, hanging in the background. And so, yeah, we basically do this investigation to, like, try and prove Kay innocent, and Lang's there and Sheena's there and Franziska shows up. There's a really sweet moment where Edgeworth very casually calls Franziska amazing, which is just a really sweet moment. And, yeah, like, I don't know, like, this investigation just has a lot of the same problems as the other ones. Like, you have to present the evidence of that Yatagarasu knife slash key, which came up in the previous game, mm-hmm. as, like, a way that you could open the safe that's in there. So, like, the key opens the first part of the safe, and then if you put the knife in, it would open the back of the safe. And the thing is, like, you have to present the knife and compare it to the safe, like, gap where you could put the knife in, right? So if you've done that, you obviously already know. But then they spend, like, 10 minutes explaining it. And it's stuff like that, which I just think builds up in this game overall, like, I don't know.
I noticed that in a lot of cases, as you're saying, like, when you're about to, like, present something as evidence, I don't know why. I mean, I think that this thing happening, like, in almost, like, every case, but in this one in particular, it's like, oh, so you have the evidence. Yeah, I have the evidence right here. Oh, yeah? Do you have the evidence? Yeah, I have the evidence right here, and I'm gonna show it to you. It's like, come the fuck on. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like all these different little ways that it just adds fluff, basically. Or not fluff, but, like, padding. I don't know. I think it's fun, like, your list of notes. You've got, like, a list from where is this Sheena here to I take it back, I love fan service. It's just a list of, like, people who show up.
And then the end. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I think that was, like, for... That accounts for, like, the first few hours.
Basically,
and then it's
yeah.
like, yeah, I'm gonna play Tetris 99.
I know. I mean, that's... Like, I already feel like I'm skipping over so much of this part of the investigation, but the thing is, like, I played this game at this point nearly 2 weeks ago, and, like, none of it stands out to me. Even stuff I've written notes on, I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote a note on that, and I understand, like, it's not like I've forgotten what I meant, but it's like, is that actually interesting? Not really. I mean, one thing which is interesting, you know, you wrote this whole list. The last entry on it is missile, which is why you wrote, I take it back, I love fan service, which yeah. I completely agree with. So, you know, there are elements of it where you're like, oh, it's really nice to see missile again. But like, by that point, we're like probably 2 hours into this investigation. What else have we had to talk about? Pretty much nothing. It's a strange one for sure.
And it's also like super convoluted to like sit down here and be like, okay, so like, this is everything that happened in the case.
Yeah, I'm not even trying, honestly.
No, it would like, be boring for difficult. Everyone.
I found that difficult in some parts in the trilogy. And at the time, I felt like, oh, like, I'm glossing over things that I shouldn't be. But, like, in the investigations, it has really been like, if I get into the weeds on this, it's completely pointless. Like, it doesn't add anything thematic or interesting to this podcast. I was about to say to the game, like, of course, when you're playing the game, like, the story itself is kind of interesting, but just relaying it doesn't say much. Whereas in the trilogy, there was always stuff that I could be like, okay, so this happens, and like, so for example, I'm thinking about, like, in the Recipe for a Turnabout, right? That case that we really didn't like. There was interesting stuff to talk about there with how they did, like, fakes and, like, how there was, like, quote-unquote twins of different people. And I remember bringing that up because I was like, oh, this is interesting, especially in relation to Bridge to a Turnabout, where, like, a lot of that has to do with fakes and stuff. And that actually goes through the whole of that game. So it was interesting to talk about elements of the actual murder there because they had thematic relevance. Whereas here it's just like, like, there is some thematic stuff that I want to get onto later regarding, like, the embassies and stuff, but if we talked for, like, 30 minutes about how the two embassies being symmetrical is, like, so important to the investigation, it wouldn't mean anything, right?
No.
And, like that's, like, 50% of it, and then the other 50% is like, oh, this character's back. Which yeah. does have some interesting stuff. Like, yeah, it's really fun to see missile. Like, oh, that's on one level. And then another thing which I really think is fun here is, like, well, not fun, but, like, I love Kay as a character, and I think I kind of feel bad that she's in this game right now. Because I want to talk about how, like, stubborn and silly she is as a character, and just, like, how she gets to be really goofy in the game in a way that really offsets Edgeworth being super serious, and, like, honestly, everyone, like, Fran's super serious, and, like, Detective Bad shows up, and, like, you know, Lang is super serious. Like, everyone in this game is so serious, and then there's just Kay being, like, super goofy, and I really, really like her as a character. I think I mentioned this before, but, like, to me, it always feels like, oh, well, they just needed, like, a similar character to Maya in every single game from now on. But playing this, like, Kay really stands out as, like, her own character and, like, a really fun, like, person to watch, you know, or
yeah.
Play with. I was gonna say that doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean. But then that almost feels like a missed opportunity, because so much of this game, so much of what is nice and fun about this game is, like, Kay's storyline and, like, how she's trying to get, like, justice for her dad to be recognized as the master thief, right? And how she wants to, like, live up to his legacy, which is, like, basically being a criminal. But, like, it really doesn't get explored that much in the actual game itself.
Yeah, I know. They're, like, so preoccupied to, like, for the players who remember every single character that show up in the series, basically. That, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of that, Larry shows up again, which is kind of fun because he is the one in the steel samurai suit, and that really pisses Edgeworth off because Edgeworth is, like, such a big steel samurai fan. But again, it's just like, how many characters can you cram into one thing? And then also immediately after that, another dead body shows up, and, like, the juxtaposition of, like, goofy and serious has always been in Ace Attorney, but here it felt really, like, sharp for some reason.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted, like, thinking about the fucking case and, like, tweeting about it because I'm angry about it, and,
don't tweet! Say it on the podcast!
I don't know. I mean, there was... I don't want to, like, get too ahead of it, because otherwise,
you can,
like,
because, I mean, like I said, I don't really want to get too stuck into details on this.
The Yadagarasu stuff was interesting. Like, I wasn't expecting that conclusion, I say. That, like, I was expecting for, like, one single person to be the Yadagarasu, and it's like, no, this was, like, kind of like a creed of, like, three key people working together and, like, using each of their own, like, ability slash, like, job permits, I'll say, to like kind of like complement each other. That was like super cool, and I really like the artwork that they did for that. But that, I don't know, it's revealed like after 6 hours maybe, and by then I was like, oh, this is cool. Oh, we still had 2 more hours to go. Okay, fuck off. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, that reveal was really cool. But at the same time, like, the characters who made up the Yatagarasu, right, is... So, yeah, again, this is jumping ahead. But, like, it was Faraday, Detective Bad, and it was Callisto Yu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Faraday we didn't know at all, because he was only in that flashback case for like a very short amount of time and then he died. That one I don't have too much of a problem with, because his death is kind of a catalyst for a lot of this, right? Especially regarding Kay's storyline and stuff like that. I think that's fine. I think that could have worked. Then Detective Bad, we really haven't seen very much. We saw him in the other case and he was just like a normal detective. Like, we didn't talk to him that much. I don't, like, I couldn't tell you anything about him, really. And then he shows up again in this case, and he's just like, I couldn't tell you anything he does in this case.
Mm.
And then Callisto, I really like her storyline, and we'll get onto it a bit later, but we talked about how, like, for me, she's definitely the highlight of the last case that we talked about, and how, like, how funny it is to see her, like, laugh at everyone for being so over-serious.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
even though she killed a bunch of people, like, her storyline is, like, really compelling. But then, in this case, like, firstly, it retcons some of that, which I don't have too much of a problem with, but then it's like, oh, yeah, she betrayed the Yatagarasu, and she always was planning to, basically. And they don't, like, give that any kind of emotional weight to, like, land, because there's no one for it to land with, really. Like, Kay never liked her, Burn Faraday is dead, and Detective Bad, like, again, he just doesn't do anything in this whole game. I feel like if they really had, like, made Detective Bad more of a character... Like, if he'd have had interactions with Kay, like, I couldn't tell you one time he spoke to Kay, even though they presumably knew each other since she was a kid. I'm sure there are a few examples, but none of them are, like, none of them really stand out, right? So, yeah, there's just no, like, emotional weight to that betrayal by Callisto.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
So I think that reveal is cool, but it could have been a lot cooler, you know?
Yeah.
Which goes for a lot of stuff in this game, for sure.
Yeah, again, it's weird how they focus on, like, oh yeah, look who's back. And it's like, yeah, but what about like this otherwise like interesting shell of characters that you have like in this game? I don't know, like, yeah, we see a lot with Lang basically, but I mean, he's not like the most memorable character ever either. He's cool and whatever, it's just like, I don't know. And like the few characters that are like we see, like Maggie, for example, like in the very beginning of like the game, and then they never show up again. It's like, okay, but we have like fucking all back again. It's like, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just think that, I mean, this is what you were saying, but all the returning characters basically crowd out a lot of the character development for newer characters. And like I think that could have been balanced, but the pacing of the thing overall just doesn't leave a lot of room for like getting to know Detective Bad, getting to know Lang. Like, well, Lang is the best of them, I think, but still it's like, maybe Callisto is the best of them, but in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they really wanted that final shot of, like, all the sprites together. And it's like, okay, sure, whatever, but I don't know. It was weird. Like, I was basically, like, just looking at my Switch, and whenever I look at the screen, because, I don't know, like, a different sound would come out of the screen, and I would be like, oh, okay, something's about to happen. And that something was always like, oh, look who's back. And that happened, like, 4 times, and I was like, okay, sure, whatever.
And speaking of that, like, they don't even give the people who return particularly good arcs. Like, Fran is in this game way more than most characters, like, new characters. But she doesn't get any growth through this whole game. And she doesn't get... In the last case, she came across pretty well, because it's always nice when Fran interacts with kids, because she's, like, surprisingly good at it. But in this case, she comes across really badly. Like, she's just kind of being a mean Interpol agent the whole time. And Edgeworth, like... There's some nice moments, like, sibling moments, but it's all, like, initiated by Edgeworth, right? So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. Like, it's just like, Fran is here. We love Fran, right? But then it doesn't do anything interesting with her.
Yeah, I know. And, like, as you were saying, like, the growth, I don't see growth for, like, Miles either. Like I was saying during, like, the first case or, like, the second case, he's, like, this new, he's carrying, like, this new persona of, oh, no, I will never forge evidence or something like that. Like, how dare you? And by the end of this that by the end of this case, it's like he has like inner monologues about that stuff, about like law and justice and whatever. But I don't know. I don't want to go into like investigations too and have like this new Miles again being like, oh yeah, I'm like the perfect prosecutor. Because it would be like, I don't know, like we went through like a whole trilogy where a lot happened.
Yeah.
And then he knows, I don't know, it feels like trials and tribulations like didn't happen for like some of his characters. And it's wild to me.
Yeah. I totally agree. Honestly, I hadn't thought about it from the Edgeworth perspective because Ace Attorney Investigations 2 is about Edgeworth reflecting on the growth that he went through in the trilogy.
Okay.
And going through a journey with that. I don't remember it well enough to say how well it pulls that off, but I have always thought it was weird that they did that in Investigations 2, because I was like, you know, like, why didn't he do that in the first game, basically? And I mean, it still feels weird, but it kind of feels like, I mean, assuming that it goes well, right? I feel like, okay, well, this was just like Edgeworth having like a weird 3 days, whereas then it's like, okay, now Edgeworth is gonna like do some internal soul searching, right? So I hope that is a good thing for his arc. I remember liking it, but what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, I have hopes, but we'll see how investigations are handled again.
But yeah, getting kind of into the final section. So after a bunch of investigation, we find out several things. Like you said, there's so much going on in this case, and so little of it actually matters. Sheena is unmasked as Callisto Yu. I have no memory of how that happens, but it happens. So that's how we find out all of the Atagrassi stuff. Now, again, this goes back to what we were saying about the reveal that the Atagrassi was three people. That reveal itself is really cool, and the Atagrassi itself is a really cool concept, which ties into the themes of this game really well, because it's all about stealing the truth from people who, like, there's no way to bring them to justice through the law because the law is flawed. And so we've explored that through this whole game, like, for example, with Amano and when he was, like, locking off the whole park so they couldn't investigate and stuff. And then in this game, it turns out that the real, like, mastermind behind all the scenes, like not only these murders but all the smuggling stuff that we've been talking about throughout this whole game, is a like diplomat called Quercus Alba, and he basically can't be brought to justice because he's a diplomat and he has extraterritorial rights. And so then for 2 hours we work on making that not true. And the thing about this is, the whole theme is about how sometimes it's not possible to bring people to justice through the law. Mm-hmm. And the reason it takes 2 hours is because they end up doing that in the most slow way possible. But the problem is, it does actually end up happening. So it kind of says that the Atagrassi is wrong and there's nothing wrong with the law at all, and you can always do it if, like, you try hard enough, which I'm not sure is actually true.
Oh, is that a conclusion? Because I clearly missed it.
I mean, it's just like, if you follow the threads to their logical conclusions, right? Like, there's so much talk about how, like, oh, the Atagrassi, it was necessary because some people are outside of the law, basically. But then, I mean, it turns out that Alva does get sort of arrested, doesn't he? So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, we gotta talk about how this thing takes 2 hours. We gotta talk about it. I honestly had mixed feelings on it, right? This was the thing that I remembered about the game most. So obviously it left a bad impression on me. And we've talked about it so many times. And it's famously bad. Like, everyone in the replies to this YouTube video were like, this sucks. And we've talked about, like, you've talked about how it sucks and you play Tetris 99, right? I completely agree with you. But I think this case has the most interesting approach to it, where everyone who's been involved in the case so far comes back with new evidence. So, like, God, I didn't even write down any examples and I forgot them all. So maybe I'm kind of undermining my own point in that I don't, like, it wasn't interesting enough to stick in my head. But I did like the kind of feeling that everyone was coming together to take him down. However, I don't think that works if everyone just thinks it's a complete drag, which clearly they do. And which I agree with, ultimately. So basically, what I'm trying to say is I really liked what they were going for, and I like that feeling in games usually, but it just doesn't really end up working.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like one-on-one, but there's like this quest in The Witcher 3 where it's like, when you're close to like the point of no return in like the main story, you're like, okay, now you have to like go back and like try and recruit like every single like character that you met, like the main characters that you met. And some of them is like, I mean, this is different than Witcher 3, of course. But it's like, oh yeah, I didn't pay attention to like this guy's storyline, so he's not likely to help me now.
Yeah.
And I like the stuff as well, but I don't know, like all of these, as you were saying, it felt more like Ready Player One, more like that kind of stuff, or like giving it like enough like presence to be like, oh yeah, I want this person to like come back and see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying basically. Like, I really like this when it happens in other games or even like other media, but it just doesn't work here. I think just because they burned so much like goodwill by making this happen so many times before, and also it being 2 hours, like they could have condensed that down again and then maybe it would have worked. But I completely forgot that I wrote this, but while you went to play Tetris 99, I apparently scheduled the next podcast while I was watching it. I had completely forgotten that. There is a moment right at the end where Edgeworth, quote, turns the case on his head like Phoenix always does, and explicitly is like, I'm gonna act like Phoenix now, although of course he says that man, and that part is good, but like it can't save how long this case has been at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, maybe that last part could be, I don't know, 2 hours, but it's an 8-hour case, so like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff in the middle that I just don't remember, and I don't think it matters at all, really, because it's just back and forth on, like, evidence and stuff.
I know, me too. I don't remember it, nor do I care about it, to be honest. But the good news is that Albert does have a good breakdown when we finally get to it, which I feel like, honestly, the characters in this case haven't had, like, super interesting breakdowns. But Albert, his whole character design is pretty cool, which helps.
Yeah.
At least that was memorable once you finally get there.
Yeah, he has like this sprite where he's like, kind of like his skin breaks, which reminded me of Azura's Wrath. And that is why I went back to Azura's Wrath last night and finished it. that was cool.
Well, since we had that like weird 10 minutes at the end of the last podcast where I talked about Callisto Yu's name, just a note on Kirkus Alba is that Kirkus is like the, I'm not pronouncing that right, but it's like the Latin term for an oak. So he's like, looks very oak-like, and when his face cracks it's like bark or something, right? I really like that. And I really like the fact that Callisto yew, like a yew is another like old like tree that can grow really really old, so I like the fact that both of them like have fitting names together, and like when they were, it turns out they were actually working together. I like that as well. That's some positive things about this case. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, we've talked about the pacing issues so much. I thought that the themes of this case were interesting in terms of like some people being above the law, but then that kind of backfired when they were like, oh, but it turns out he isn't, so don't worry about it. And yeah, I mean, what you mentioned about Edgeworth's like not really having a character arc is really interesting, but I am still holding out hope that Ace Attorney 2 will deliver on that, because I do remember it. And I think, touch wood again, that it has better pacing also, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm excited about to see how Investigations 2 goes, but I'm also like more excited to like get to Apollo Justice and like get to like the the old structure again. So, but I don't know. I mean, I know that Apollo Justice has saying. Like its own things as well.
That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is, on the one hand, I felt like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have gone straight from the trilogy to Investigations. But then I was like, no, it's good to like break up the mainline games because, like, we talk about them in a different way, I think. So I'm glad that we did them in this order still.
Yeah, I mean, even if I wasn't, like, the biggest fan of the game, I definitely agree that this was, like, the right call to make. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised by how much I wasn't a fan of this game. There were some really nice parts. I still stand by the fact that I love, like, just being in Edgeworth's head, like, having Edgeworth as the protagonist. I am pretty optimistic about Ace Attorney 2 being better, so I'm excited for that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we had covered so much of what we wanted to talk about already in like previous episodes. This might be a short one. Did you have any more overall thoughts about this case or about Investigations overall?
I mean, I hope that Lang and like some other characters like come back in Investigations 2, and I assume they will. And it won't take long until like a fucking YouTube thumbnail confirms that for me. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, if this is like the foundation, like a shaky foundation of like, because I appreciate the idea and like direction and the shift of the game. I mean, maybe if we would have just like jumped straight from like the trilogy to like another trilogy with like Apollo Justice, maybe it would be like, oh, this structure again. So I don't know, maybe I like Investigations 2 better than this, and maybe they're like pick up some of the lessons from this one, maybe realize, yeah, these cases are maybe too fucking long. And maybe we don't need, like, all of this back and forth, like, the same piece of evidence all the time. So, yeah, I'm excited about the new game. And again, like, I really like some of the characters in here. And, yeah, and, like, seeing firsthand how much of an asshole, like, Miles can be in his own mind as well, it was fun.
That's not what I meant.
No, that's totally my opinion. No worry.
I was going to say, when you talked about returning characters, or like, yeah, just in general, when we were talking about characters like popping up, at the very end of this case, like in the credits, where they have like those little epilogues with the characters, Emma shows up and she says, I was hoping to talk to Edgeworth more than I did. And I was like, yeah, why were you only in this game for like 10 minutes? It was so weird. I guess they needed someone to introduce like the forensic techniques, but I don't know, I feel like Lang could have done that or something.
Yeah, like the fucking game making that joke is like, come on, my brother in Christ, you made this, like, you made this goal. Like,
it was very funny. I wonder whether like she was in it more and they got caught or something, in which case, like, fair enough, because it was long. But anyway, I will say, definitely I would be willing to bet money there's no 2-hour confrontation with somebody in Ace Attorney 2, so that's a good thing.
Okay,
I wanted to say on that as well, it really hit that thing that you mentioned that one time that I was obsessed with about the boss battle, where I was like, yeah, okay, this feels like a boss battle that's gone horribly wrong. Where I'm just fighting the same guy and like chipping his, like, I'm so underleveled that I'm like chipping his health down by like one every turn or whatever the fuck. So I think that's a good place for me to leave my feelings on Ace Attorney Investigations.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, let us leave this one behind and go into Ace Attorney 2, which I know has things that I love about it. So beyond anything else, it will be better in that way. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter at JMCastello, and you can find the show at BreakdownAA.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheArwersha66, that's Arweller. And I don't have a pun for this episode, which I now realized I didn't. I mean, I was trying to think of one last night, but I think I was like so frustrated and nothing came to mind. So yeah, Investigations 1 doesn't get a final pun for me. That's... Turn our breakdowns. Biggest punishment ever.
Wow. Rest in peace, Ace Attorney Investigations.